It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Yeah, you're in the loop, Sports Radio 610 on a Football Friday. Appreciate you hanging out with us here. That's what I was going to say. I wanted to shout out in about an hour. We'll be turning it over to the fellas of the drive who are at Big City Wings in Edo.
Yeah, right up the road, man.
Okay, excellent.
Okay.
Excellent. So getting you ready for the weekend. Actually, Cam on the YouTube hypothesized as we were, you know, kind of workshopping the name for the weekend in college football as you were trying to get to. Mm-hmm. Worth Your Watch Weekend.
Yeah.
Does that sound good?
Okay, that sounds better. I had Worth Your Time. I'm going to do that every week, I think. I'm going to make a note to myself. Come up with an ESPN-like tagline. Because theirs are always too corny. Ours would be better.
And Worth Your Watch Weekend is not. That is correct.
That's right.
At the stadium, NRG Stadium, that is, where your Texans will take on the Jaguars this Sunday at noon. Mm-hmm. They practice. They practice indoors. And, of course, the big thing from that, Nico Collins practice. Joe Mixon also practiced. Nico Collins, I guess it was less of a shock, although he popped up kind of surprisingly on the injury report with the hamstring yesterday after practice. But Joe Mixon hadn't practiced for the last 2 weeks. He's back in practice. Nico Collins specifically told reporters that he said absolutely.
That's
when
the
he
word
was asked
he used. Yeah.
If he'll be playing. I don't know that I've seen anything specific in the same way when it comes to Joe Mixon. But at least we know that wide receiver that has been really pivotal to what you are doing, he will be playing. And I think it's fair to assume that Joe Mixon probably goes if he's practicing on a Friday.
Yeah, you know? I think he's going to go.
And so, yeah, we're looking forward to that. And that takes us right into the segment. Texans win because, Texans lose because. Y'all let us know what you believe are going to be the deciding factors on whether the Texans get a win or a loss against the Jags at noon. And I'll go ahead and start by saying,
yeah,
I can't imagine the situation when they get a loss. But with that being the case, I see you guys already texting in. John, is there something that comes to mind for you immediately when it comes to what will determine if the Texans get a win or a loss?
All right, so I'm going to say the first one, the most obvious one first. And I don't know what I was thinking when I wrote this down as a note.
Oh, so you're just going to read this and see if you can reverse engineer?
I'm going to read my note and tell me if this is fair. This is the note I made to myself this morning. The offensive line does not soil itself.
Ooh, that's a mighty high bar you got there. Just keep your pants clean and you win.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's the one that's going to come up a lot. It's already come up, right?
Yeah.
On the 713. Texans win if Laremy Tunsil doesn't false start.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Laremy Tunsil, because of the consistency of this, the way that it's gone over the entirety of his career really matters. I think also if there's an attention to detail in the offensive line, we heard Bobby Slowick go up and down about it in his whole 10 minutes of availability with the media, if not more. And it seemed like at any given time we got to execute, right? We're not going to get anything if we do not. In fact, can we run back Slowick 7? Because he was asked if can the offensive line perform at the level you expect from them.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I mean, we put it on tape. I know we put it on tape against Indianapolis. We put it on tape in training camp. You know, we can go do it. We can get it done. We can get it done at a very, very high level when we do it right and when we're committed to what we're doing. We just need to maintain consistency.
I'm not going to go there again, but you heard it. If we're committed to do what we're doing. And I think my point, Texans win because the O-line doesn't soil itself, is even more valid now because Joe Mixon is playing. So that little sort of built-in excuse, if it doesn't go well, you know, they still didn't have Joe Mixon, doesn't quite, you know, hold as much if they don't play well.
8-3-2, Texans win because the Jaguars cannot handle the Taqueria Saran Das power.
This is true.
I appreciate you, 8-3-2, because they've been trying to get Taqueria Saran Das all on the broadcast. I've seen multiple texts, and I have not indulged you. Here I will indulge you. I appreciate you listening. but some of this is just like, that's the Texans win because the Jags are just not that good. And on top of that, it feels like they're in a dysfunctional way. And I recognize, hey, Reggie, you're getting to that place where you're setting yourself up for the okey-doke, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get out here and you're like, there's no way they should win, and then set up, and then the knockdown is that ultimately something bad happens. Let's knock on wood because I don't want that to ultimately actually happen. But it just feels like this Jaguars team is, one, in a dysfunctional place, two, not talented enough to do that, and three, I mean, they're missing Evan Engram.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't feel like they're in a good place to be able to compete with this Texas team.
No, it doesn't. They really, this is a no-excuse game. We've said it. Say worth saying again, they need to show up in a big way, the Texans. They need to have an impressive win. Now, how impressive, in what way I should say impressive? Preferably the line, road greats and pass blocks, and C.J. Stroud actually can drop back and push off his right foot and throw the ball rather than scrambling around and all that. But no, I think absolutely. Another one, or do you have one, Texans win because, lose because?
No, offensive line is where I was at.
My other one is a huge day from Stingley or Lassiter or not. Like you can't get Trevor Lawrence right. You know, Trevor Lawrence can't get right against you. Just can't happen.
Yeah.
But I think Lassiter and Stingley can have a very big day, and they'll win. They'll win because of it.
And to that end, I was actually on the other end of the, you know, the defensive connection. Texans win because the offensive line or the defensive line goes from pressures to sacks.
Yeah.
Right? Like they finish within this. Trevor Lawrence is one of the most sacked quarterbacks in the league. In fact, let me see if I can pull up my notes one more again and get this right. Trevor Lawrence has been sacked on 11.5% of his drops backs this season, which is the highest rate in the NFL.
There you go.
And as we know, sacks obviously somewhat a function of the offensive line, but sacks often are a quarterback stat. Like you're holding the football or what have you, or getting yourself into pressure. Which means he's going to give you opportunities. And if you're talking about opportunities, I don't know that Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr., I just made them into one dude, all that many opportunities. They're going to apply that pressure. If they get home, he's not having opportunities to go downfield. But with that being the case, with us talking about the Jaguars not really being that good and how they should, the Texans should, handle a business, what has to happen for the Texans to lose, right? What's the Texans lose because of this? Because one of the things that I immediately come to is Texans lose because they're allowing these shots over the top, right? There's speed. I know Brian Thomas Jr., shout out to the Ocho. There's folks that with him, with Kirk, they have guys that can attack downfield. And Jimmy Ward might not be playing. Not that Jimmy Ward is the ball hawk of the defense or what have you, but we've seen that there's possibilities of being gotten in the defensive secondary. And so this is a Jaguars team that likes throwing the ball downfield. If they're able to connect, if those things come together, I don't think that those situations are built well for the Jaguars to do that. Mm-hmm. But if they do, all of a sudden you're talking about allowing that team to get big yards in a way that they probably should not.
Yeah, and we've mentioned the offensive line and certainly, you know, Bobby Slowick and the false starts. Texans lose because they have more pre-snap penalties.
Because
this will go off the rails.
Because they're playing against the Jaguars and the Texans is why they lose.
Yeah, exactly. That line that D'Amico said earlier this week. But and I'm not even talking about Tunsil. You know, just Tunsil per se. They've had an array of and Bobby Slowick talked about that this week yesterday as well. It's sometimes the receivers, sometimes, you know, misalignment, illegal formation, sometimes. It might have been Titus Howard moving or whatever. But you just can't have it, man. This is truly like we were talking earlier. I was talking with Sean Pendergast. Like, Laramie Tunsil is the lightning rod. And he's got seven, you know, pre-snap penalties this year. The record is 12 by a tackle in the NFL.
On pace.
After three games, he's more than on pace. And, oh, by the way, you know who owns the record?
Is it
Laramie Tunsil? He's about to break his own record.
Doing Aaron Judge?
He's about, well, in a reverse, the bizarro Aaron Judge. like the record for false starts by a tackle, according to Seth Payne, who did the research, so I'm going to give him credit.
Always. Listen to Payne and Pendergast. Yeah. 6 to 10 a.m. right here on Sports Radio 610.
Is 12. He's got 7 through 3 games. So he clearly is the lightning rod, but it's all of that. Like, just one clean game. Is that too much to ask?
Well, we'll find out, I guess, because that's been the ask by the team, right? D'Amico has made everything he said sounds from a very assured voice.
Mm-hmm.
We're handling that. It's been handled, in fact, that this is going to be fixed, right? Bobby Slowick yesterday,
mm-hmm.
like, we have to be better, right? We know what to do. We have to be better. These things have been addressed, so let's see if ultimately that is what happens, because I think also there's going to be, if you can't do it in this game, when it's so front of mind, when it is the talk of the town, when everybody's breathing down your neck about it.
Yeah.
I do wonder if you'll ever do it. Like, this is, it really feels like a now or never getting your stuff
absolutely
together.
Absolutely it does. And then this one you almost hesitate to say, but it's there and it's fair. Lost in all the other problems that the Texans were fighting last week was C.J. Stroud throwing two interceptions.
Yeah.
And another one that was a near miss.
One of them was a bad one.
One of them was a bad one.
I think the second one, or the first one rather, was, it was a tip, man. I thought that was a really good recognition and play by the Vikings. You have to give them their credit in the ways that they played you.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is different, man.
Mm-hmm. If they're playing clean up front and receivers are getting open and Nico is going to be back in the lineup, absolutely, to use his word, and you get a little bit of help from whether it's Metchie or Xavier Hutchinson or whomever, you know, stepping in for Tank Dell, C.J. Stroud, who hasn't thrown a lot of interceptions, but had two last week, you can't give it to the other squad. You just can't give it to the other squad.
Yeah, if there's all of a sudden turnovers, it really is just Texans lose if they beat themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that there's many opportunities for the Jaguars to outright beat you in this game. So they need to be clean. They absolutely need to be clean in the execution from that quarterback position as well. How about this? I did find this interesting because, again, I think a lot of the tone and tenor of Bobby Slowik's time with the media had this as an undercurrent, the criticism of him. And I think this came in from, let me see if I could find it one more time. But the idea of if the Texans lose, if Bobby Slowik does not adjust, basically, if he does not adjust well to what is happening, because that is something that people are asking questions about. And I don't know if as much of the heat on Bobby Slowik is fair just yet, but it's going to be hard to deny it if you have a game like against the Jaguars where it feels like you are not able to get to the place that you need to.
I like that one because, you know, we were talking about Slowik kind of sort of taking responsibility, but mostly putting it on the players yesterday. If Bobby Slowik is wrong, and it's not the player's fault, it's him, then, yeah, we're going to talk a lot more about Bobby Slowik. But right now, all the penalties are sort of overshadowing all that. And frankly, they need to run the ball. There's no more excuses on that with Joe Mixon. Cam Akers is probably going to play. I feel like that's your best 1-2 punch. You got to run the ball. Oh, and one more just popped into my mind.
Okay.
This is the last team you want to give a head start to, the Jaguars.
Yeah, the game scripts, man.
Yeah.
The Texans really do need to take advantage of the game script. Mm-hmm. Get out ahead and put this away early.
You can't give them life. I mean, how about early? You know, you're down 3-0, 7-0, 10-0, whatever. Can't happen. Because then all of a sudden they feel like they got something going on.
Okay, so are you ready? You ready to pick this? You feel confident in how this is going?
I think the Texans are going to win. I can't, in good conscience, say that it's going to be what I hope it is. And that's like Figgy was talking about earlier. He said they need to beat the Jaguars the way the Vikings beat the Texans last week. In other words, it might not be like a runaway. You're only up 14-0 at the half, but you're in total control. I'll take that. And then it becomes a runaway in the second half. You know, it becomes sort of all right, well, let's play Davis Mills. In this case, it'll be Mac Jones, you know, for the Jaguars. Like, I'm not comfortable enough to say it's going to be that impressive a performance by the Texans. So I'm going to say nice, tidy little 10-point win. And I'll call that, let's say 24-14.
Okay. It's kind of in the same vein.
Mm-hmm.
26-14.
What do you think, Fig?
Not 14. 26-13.
I was going to say, I'm going to go 30. They got to put
so
up.
So you're 30. Comfortable in that, okay. They're going to turn it around,
I think so. I feel like I watched too many Jazz games already. And they just look totally out of it, man. To me, I expect this to be an ass whipping, and we should be looking on SportsCenter talking about Doug Peterson got fired, or it should be that conversation about him getting fired.
713, Texans lose if Bobby Slowik doesn't become Bobby Fastwick. It's so dumb, but it's funny to me. God, that's hilarious. 713 throws out 21-10. Okay, yeah. The reason why I went 26, just to be clear, I think that maybe 26 isn't the right number, but I feel like I don't know that they fully get the trend of like, hey, every time we're on the field, when we go down, we're going to go score. I think that they might still have some of the We're going to end up in kind of no man's land, and Kiami's going to kick a long one.
Boy, they're kicking a lot of field goals.
They're kicking a lot of them.
Yeah.
And that is something that hopefully if the offensive line gets themselves right, then we can start talking about now you need to be punching this into the red zone and then into the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
But as of right now, it feels like we can't even talk about any of those things because, again, the foundation, the game at its essence is about blocking and tackling.
Yeah.
Yes, the foundation has not been in the way that you need it to be. But get right game, must win in some ways.
Oh, get out of here with that.
I wanted to see what he did. I want to see if I can get
it. It's a must win, man. It's a must win.
Get out of here.
Regardless, what you want to term it, if you want to term it any of those things or if it's just another football game, it happens on Sunday noon against the Jaguars at NRG Stadium. Roof is fully repaired, likely going to be closed, and I imagine it's going to be loud. It's going to be good festivities early, I hope.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited for that. And just an opportunity to set yourself up for what is going to be a tough stretch going beyond it. But can't look for it. At least the team can't look past it. I can. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be on the field and impacting this. But you got a few games coming up that are going to be a challenge. You got to make sure you handle yours on Sunday. Pregame starts at 9 here with Sean Pendergast and Seth Payne. And I know that it's going to be a delight, as it always is, here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's about that time to hand it over to Fig for the mixtape. What you got?
Man, so I got a list of the greatest American dishes. Somebody put out a list, and we're going to go through that and see what's on this list. Plus, it's wedding season. Let's be real. It's wedding season. I actually have to work a wedding on Saturday.
Oh.
And I got a list of the most frustrating things about attending weddings.
Oh, okay.
Everybody can get behind this.
All right.
Let's do that next.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Friday. Happy Friday to everyone out there. And before I get to the list of the greatest American dishes, I got to get to some or this restaurant that's probably ain't going to make no list no time soon. And I'm ready for this documentary.
I think I know where you're going.
Oh, yeah, we're going to the Houston Institution.
I know where you're going.
Turkey leg hut still going, man.
That's tough.
Another plot twist. I didn't see this one coming.
Mm-hmm. It really is a soap opera over there, ain't it?
It is. This is a whole plot twist right here. So, gospel singer James Fortune
mm-hmm.
has entered the chat with this with this turkey leg hut situation. So, I didn't even know he had any involvement with this.
Yeah.
But apparently, he's been giving money to Turkey Leg Hut to I guess kind of invest in
to
it.
Keep him afloat.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
That.
And it wasn't working. And I got the news clip right here pretty much explaining everything what happened with this.
More legal trouble for Houston's well-known Turkey Leg Hut.
Grammy-nominated gospel singer James Fortune and his wife are now suing the restaurant's owner over claims they put more than $300,000 into the restaurant and are now out of the money.
The Fortunes say they loaned Nakia, as the restaurant's owner, $100,000. 2 months later, the account says Nakia phoned.
She was hysterical because the comptrollers were physically there to seize assets, and so she needed financial assistance immediately.
The Fortunes then say they put in $180,000 for 15% ownership of the Turkey Leg Hut. The Fortunes say they spent thousands paying for food supplies and services. Then, on March 26, Turkey Leg Hut filed for bankruptcy, declaring less than $50,000 in assets.
By then, we're, you know, $300,000 in. Bankruptcy was filed a month after we had given that money. We come to find out there's millions in debt now.
The Fortunes say they put in nearly $400,000 into the restaurant. Now they are suing and pray in hopes of getting their money back.
That's real nasty.
I think go put that at the end.
Yeah, nasty nat pop.
But man, this story is getting crazy.
They ain't getting their money back.
No, they're not.
Even if they win the suit.
Man.
Because that company is not, Turkey Leg Hut not making it.
It seems like they broke as a joke right now, man.
Just end it, man.
Yeah.
Just call it.
Hey, it's been a good run,
yes,
man. Like this,
This situation
has it been a good run?
Well, the food
it started,
except like for the bugs and you know,
but
slime,
you know,
and the
what?
Ice machine.
This, but honestly, this restaurant had the whole world going crazy.
For
though.
Sure,
yeah.
Like
for sure.
Every time I talk to somebody that's not from Houston, the first thing they say, I want to come to Houston so I could go to Turkey Leg Hut.
Yep.
Yeah.
And just the downfall of this, man, this got documentary or docuseries written.
I think
over.
You're right. I think there's money overseas somewhere.
It could
be. I'm saying, like, I think somebody's stashing some money somewhere because they were making too much. Unless they're just the worst business people ever.
Very much possible.
Yeah.
Right? We can't ignore the possibility.
It seemed like it's some slimy going
yes.
on, too, man.
Yes.
So yeah. I look, if I was an investor, I would not give my money to them.
Yeah. I mean, look, I hate to be that guy, but what are the personal assets we're talking about, right? Like,
yeah.
Let's look at that. It is very possible that a business was poorly run. And ultimately, the real nasty, and the reason why I think that is a possibility,
mm-hmm.
you knew that you had all these debts, and you're like, hey, just another $100,000.
Yeah, yeah.
That'll make it happen. Just let me get another $100,000.
I think somebody stashed some money somewhere, man.
Yeah, I feel bad for the Fortunes.
Oh,
they
yeah.
put all that money in there, and it's probably going to shut down.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't going to get nothing.
Yeah.
So it was a list of the greatest American dishes put out, I think I want to say it was by CNN.
Mm-hmm.
And number one, y'all can probably guess what's the number one American dish is.
Hamburger.
Barbecue.
Oh, yeah. You're damn right it is.
Yep, barbecue was number one.
All right.
This was the surprising one to me. Fried okra.
Okay, the list is invalid.
Yeah, what?
Don't get me wrong. I love fried okra.
I was about to say, you better not.
That's one of my go-to sides at barbecue restaurants is fried okra. But number two?
Yeah. Yeah, and this list was kind of weird, too, mm-hmm. because I feel like they was bringing in all type of dishes that's not American. And they said this is the top 20 American dishes.
All right.
Yeah.
So I'm willing to hear this out.
Yeah, a couple things they had on here. They had Cobb salad.
Cobb salad. Well, that's a popular. Salad. I don't know. It wasn't like three, was it?
I mean,
well, I'm a big blue cheese guy, and Cobb salad has blue cheese.
This was, I want to say this was after fried okra.
Okay.
They had peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Deservedly so.
Hamburgers.
All right.
That's what I thought.
American pie.
Okay.
Chili. Clam chowder.
I guess.
Yeah, Reuben. The Reuben sandwich.
I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of the
Reuben.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Eggs Benedict. I never had this.
It's good. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Grits, spaghetti and meatballs, and chocolate chip cookies.
Are we claiming spaghetti and meatballs for real?
As an American dish. Yeah, like because it's been Americanized. Everybody makes it. Yeah, I got no problem with this. Other than okra number two, that's a little bizarre.
Yeah.
And I'm a fan.
Some other things they have on this list was fried bread, red beans and rice, gumbo.
There we go. I was waiting for that stuff.
Yeah.
Poke.
Mm-hmm.
Banana pudding.
Do we get a chance to can we claim poke as well? Like poke bowls?
That's why it's
been Americanized too, I guess.
Yeah, but like that feels, anyway.
They also had General So chicken.
You know what? I don't mind it.
Like,
I feel like we might be lacking in American food. we gotta go somewhere else.
I mean, like, I know that we have had, we have Americanized some foods, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
There's a decent amount of, like, homegrown inventions here that we don't have to go out there and do some of that.
I think General So's was invented in the United States.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I saw a documentary once, you know, one of these food documentaries.
About General So's?
No, just a food documentary. Might have been Foods That Built America. Y'all seen that?
And all that?
Okay.
I think somebody in California invented it.
See, now, I agree with this. 832, if we go spaghetti and catfish, which is a very Midwest dish.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Spaghetti and meatballs, I feel like we just, they're like, we do spaghetti, we do meatballs. Yeah. What are you talking about?
We used to do spaghetti and chicken.
Oh, okay.
So, like chicken, fried chicken, spaghetti.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Poke is mostly Hawaiian, so yeah. Okay. Thank you, Joseph. Did not realize that. Today I learned.
So it's wedding season, and my schedule is starting to pick up a lot because I work for a photo booth company.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Photo Blee.
Hey.
And, I was at a wedding. So I'm going to one this Saturday. I was at one the last couple Saturdays. And it got me thinking because I saw this guy. I actually ran into a couple of listeners out there, too.
Oh, good.
and they actually recognized me. But it got me thinking, because soon as the bride and the groom came in, and I seen the father of the bride came in. He had like a stack of papers.
Oh,
with
no.
a microphone. Where I'm just like, man,
yeah,
we about to be here for a long time.
Although there's something very entertaining about an awkward, you know, speech, dad speech or best man speech.
Yeah, so it kind of got me thinking, man. What are some uncomfortable things about being that somebody else's wedding?
Well, that's
when
one.
It comes to that. So I gotta listen to this.
Yeah, people that are clearly not public speakers that have to give the speech.
Yeah.
Although obviously more power to you getting up there doing what you can. But yeah, the formulas, you don't have to follow the formula.
What do you got, Figgy?
Nice things.
So on this list I got the dress code dilemma.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a little tricky because sometimes they say like, semi-formal or cocktail formal.
Yeah.
It's just like, what the hell do I wear? And you just say, screw it, I just wear a suit. Just
right.
To cover all bases. And then now everybody there looking like they going to the U.S. Open. Like everybody there in khakis and have a rustic look or something like that. So I feel like that's one of the things that's...
Why do they overthink the way they term these things? I've always just thought casual, semi-formal, formal. Done.
Yeah.
You know, but now they have like such and such
cocktail form. Hour and you know, all this other stuff.
Yes.
It's just like, man, don't make it too difficult.
Yeah.
The next one is the like I just mentioned earlier, the endless speeches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Pop's coming up there with a stack of papers, getting ready to read it all the way through. I'm just like, oh man. Or either you'll have the bridesmaid.
Yeah.
Or like the sister or the family member that get the whole announcement from the DJ saying, hey, here's the sister of the bride, Rebecca. And then she get up there, hey, guys, you might not know who I am.
No, but we don't.
I am the sister. My name is Rebecca, and I am the sister of the bride. And like, all right, he just said that.
Yeah.
So they just read a whole, like, scripted letter to somebody. I was just like, man, this don't even sound like you would say anything like this.
I'm at my kids' weddings. We had three weddings. We batted 5 for 6 on the best man and maid of honor or whatever the number is.
Damn,
speeches.
Who grounded
well,
out?
Well, they're in Colorado. I can say it. My daughter's now husband's best man.
Mm, he failed.
I want to know more about that. I'm not going to lie.
Sweating.
Oh, man.
Vomited before.
Oh, hey, yo.
Yeah.
He was that nervous?
I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was nerves or booze or whatever. And
it's not an easy job. It feels like it's a big deal. So I get it.
Yeah, I'm going to go through the list real quick. Uncomfortable seating. So sitting with somebody you have no idea who this person is.
Yep.
That could be a little awkward. The overly long ceremony.
The
whole just getting married, the wedding part of it,
where
it's just extremely long and all these random traditions where you just like, man, what is going on? Let's get to the smooching part. Let's kiss. Like, let's kiss so we can go to the reception.
I get what you mean, but it did sound like you were just like, I come to these weddings to see kissing. Let's
kissing.
Go.
Yeah.
The awkward small talk.
Mm-hmm.
So just trying to come up with a conversation.
So where are you from?
Somebody. So how do you know
what do
the,
you do?
How do you know the couple?
Yeah.
I'm just a coworker.
Yeah.
I don't really know the couple like that. He just invited me.
Yeah.
The pressure to dance.
Oh, there should be pressure to dance. I disagree. You got to get your ass out there, man. It's a wedding.
And this is why I actually vehemently disagree with one of our YouTube commenters who said, if it's not already on your list, line dancing at weddings makes me embarrassed to be white, which, hey, man, let me tell you, whether you're white or black or whatever in between, the line dance is your friend, right? If you don't want to dance,
you can fake it.
Get in on the line dance. Yeah. Do one or two lands.
You
dances,
know they're going to play the Casper Slide.
Cupid Shuffle.
Yeah.
Right?
Casper Slide is the easiest line dance.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's telling you what to do.
And you have to dance at a wedding. I hate when those. Yeah, no, I don't really dance. Just get your ass out there. Yeah. Come on, man. It's a wedding.
If you get in on the two line dances, you can sit down for the rest of it. You danced.
Yeah.
You checked it off.
Totally agree.
Yeah. What about the bridesmaids, the groomsmen duties?
So as in
like,
what?
Trying to like coordinate what y'all wear and all the different expenses and responsibilities and all that stuff. That's more for people that's actually wedding.
In the wedding party, it ends up being a little annoying, but I feel like you ultimately are like, it's fine. You're doing it for someone who cares. Now, it's the people that make it really tough, though. like the you know, brides and grooms that are like,
yeah,
that now make it really tough on you, and you got to go get this suit and you got to do this, yes, in particular, and you're just, yeah, like, why am I
this way?
We're doing a lot right now.
I think, you know, one thing that bothered me, again, we've had three weddings in the last 3 or 4 years, so I got a little experience with this, is when the bachelor party is at a place that is like incredibly expensive. Yeah. Like, hey, we're going to Cabo for my bachelor party. I said, I ain't.
Yeah. That type of stuff actually made it uncomfortable for, yes, some people, because I had a in-law who was trying to get married for the last 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. And she kept trying to schedule a wedding up in Jamaica.
Good luck.
And I'm just like, man, we struggling, yeah, right now, man. Luck. We check to check right now. We can't afford no damn trip right now.
Oh, yeah.
And she kept pushing it back, Hopefully people come, but it was only a few people that was able to go, man. Mm-hmm. It was just like, man, I'm in a tough spot right now.
Yeah.
So that always make it a little awkward. And the last one, of course, is the drunk relative.
God bless him. God bless him. And it's I like to play this little game of who's it gonna be? Like you're at the wedding, or the reception is just starting, and I look around the room. I've told my sons this, my wife, like, okay, who's it gonna be? Who's it gonna be? And yeah, like, you'd be surprised. You get a pretty good batting average if you know most of the people at the wedding. Yeah.
I think the fun part for me, since I work a photo booth, mm-hmm, I can see it from the beginning.
Yeah.
So as soon as they walk in, and some of them be scared to take a picture and all that stuff, mm-hmm, oh, I'll come by later.
Yeah. Know.
And then by the end of the night, they're like,
they're doing all kinds of stuff.
Falling all over the photo booth, yeah, and spilling drinks and all that stuff. So it's, yeah, just like, dang.
I don't know. I appreciate their service, giving us a little more entertainment on a wedding. You know, yeah, what I mean?
Oh, I like it.
There you go.
I like it.
So shout out to all the people having weddings this weekend and in this wedding season, as Fig put it, in Figgy's Mixtape. 120 every weekday right here in the Loop. Appreciate you hanging out with us on a Football Friday. Before we give it to the drive, the guys are at Big City Wings in Edo. Before we do that, let's go ahead and draft the weekend. What are the games that we are most excited to watch? Games, sports, events, those types of things that we're watching on the weekend. We'll talk about that next.
Thank you, Figgy.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yep, it is a Football Friday here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Lopez, Figgy Fig, myself, Reggie Atitula, hanging out with you. Hope that you are enjoying your Friday. In fact, you can enjoy your Friday even more. We're about to get ready to turn it over to our guys, Clint and Ron and T-Mill. Clint and Ron out there in Edo at Big City Wings. So you want to go and hang out with them as they get you ready as well for Texans Jags. In fact, we were talking about that. Texans, mm-hmm, win because Texans lose because at the top of the hour at 1. And some people texted in and they gave their predictions. We gave ours. I know I went 26-17. Is that where I went?
26, yes.
17, correct. And you went
24-14. Believe.
There we go.
Yeah.
No, I went 13. 26-13 is, mm-hmm, what I went, because I was like, I don't think that they get 2 touchdowns. Someone did go at me and they were like, Reg thinks that the Texans score 2 touchdowns and 4 field goals. Get out of here with that. And I was like, hey, man, they score. Hey,
they do kick field goals.
They kick 4 field goals against the Bears, mm-hmm, and punted 6 times.
Yeah.
And also, I don't know things, man. I don't got a crystal ball, but, mm-hmm, you know, hey, I do wonder if that continues to be a thing. 713 came in with 21-10. And another 713 came in with 46-7.
Oh, man.
Texans. Wow. So they are going in the Figgy school of things.
Ass whooping.
Go whoop them Keisters.
Figgy wants that ass whooping.
Go whoop.
They got to, man.
Yeah, so
get
there
the
you
coach
go
fired, man.
And maybe you feel emboldened by that, by finding out what happened in practice today, which was that Joe Mixon practiced, as did Nico Collins, who had Nico had popped up on the, mm-hmm, injury report yesterday. The injury designation was hamstring.
Yes.
And so those guys look like they'll play. In fact, Nico said he'll absolutely play. So maybe that's what's given that person a level of energy there. So those are the things that we got going there before we head into the game. But let's go ahead and draft the weekend.
Draft the weekend.
Lopez, I will give you the distinct honor of drafting first. Whatever is happening this weekend, sports, entertainment, otherwise, go ahead and draft the things that you want. Obviously, Texas Jags is off the table because we're all,
yeah,
very interested in that one. But go ahead. You got first pick.
With the number one pick, I am picking Arkansas versus Texas A&M.
Wow.
Yes. Come on now.
You should have known we were going to leave that on the board for you. You could have gotten that in the second, third round drafting, at least.
Damn it. I was going to get that.
You're going to take that? I'm taking Arkansas versus Texas A&M. That's mine.
Fig, you up.
I think I'm going to be a little biased here, too, man. I got to go with Ohio State and Michigan State.
Okay,
man.
See? Now you're giving me a hard time.
Hey, this is going to be a big test for Ohio State, man. This probably be the toughest team they faced all year.
So far.
Yeah. I mean, Akron.
So you got the board, basically, if you want it.
Yeah. Yeah, and now I'm going to do that thing where you have all the decisions in front of you, and then that cripples you. I'm going to go with another noon game as well. I'm interested in this when it comes to NFL. I want to see the Minnesota Vikings continue and play against the.
I had that on my list.
Yeah, Vikings Packers. I want to see this obviously rivalry game continue to see more of what the Vikings are and the Packers if Jordan Love does indeed return.
I'm taking Georgia, Alabama. I got my first two picks, college football.
I like what you're doing there. I ain't mad at it.
Georgia, Alabama, because there's some NFL games I really like, but I want those two first.
No, it's fair. I kind of maybe like these college games more than the NFL games now that I'm looking at them for real.
I'm going with Bills, Ravens.
That was going to be my next
pick. That's going to say a lot. And I said this last week with the Ravens and Cowboys. That was going to explain a lot, too, to see what team, like, what's the identity of these teams.
Yeah.
And I think this is another one, too, with the Ravens and the Bills.
Ah, man, he took that one.
Mm-hmm.
He took that one from me. All right, I'm just going to be a homer. Give me K-State, Oklahoma State. I think that this is going to be a big win in the Big 12, probably a pseudo-elimination game. Mm-hmm. But then this will also give us a little bit of an idea of which one of those teams is probably going to have a good shot of making some noise in the Big 12 and possibly in the playoff.
Yeah, I actually had that one on my list as well, but... with my third pick, I'm going to take, I think it's going to be a really good game. I think it's going to say a lot about both squads, and that is Chiefs-Chargers. Little John Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh, and...
he did the thing, too.
I did it. And are the Chiefs, I mean, what are the Chiefs? Their defense week one looked like, oh my gosh, they're going to just kill everybody. But they look a little vulnerable as well. And plus, maybe Travis Kelce's going to look lonely on the sideline again, like he's missing. Is Taylor going to the game?
I don't know. Why are you asking me like I keep up with you?
Because she didn't go to the game, and then he was like kind of sad on the sideline.
I'm going to go with the Steelers and Colts. I'm kind of interested in this game. I'm still not believing in the Steelers, man. I feel like this is still fool's gold, but maybe it's not. I'm not sure, but I kind of want to see them take on the Colts and how the Colts kind of bounce
back. I like that one. That was up there as well. But you know what? Low-key best game of the weekend is my next draft pick. Oh, no. You're next. My bad.
I am next.
Yeah. Don't take the one I was thinking about. What was it? What was I thinking about?
Let's see if I'm going to take another divisional game.
Okay.
Does that sound right or is that wrong?
That is incorrect.
Okay, perfect. Give me Saints-Falcons.
That's a good one.
Bad blood between those, and both those teams have shown possibilities of being a relatively good team. Plus, I could get to see, at the very least, if the Falcons falcon again.
Mm-hmm.
That's always good for a little bit of a laugh, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mine, you have to include Monday as part of the weekend, because I am really intrigued by Seahawks, Lions. Yeah. Lions, really, really good Super Bowl contender. Seahawks, man, they just keep, all they do is win. All they do is, it's going to be a nice, nice Monday night football game.
Figure.
I'm a cop out right here, man.
Okay.
I'm gonna watch the Guardians and Astros.
Just
because it's gonna be the last series of the regular season.
There's nothing wrong with that.
And just kind of relax, not really be stressed. Both of the teams are in, so just chill and watch a little baseball to postseason.
Yeah, Ronel's going today for the Astros, and that'll be interesting. And I was about to go baseball here.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually about to go baseball here. I kind of want to see. And it's two games, really, that I'm trying to pick between, but you understand the reason why. I guess I'll go ahead and I'll go ahead and throw up Orioles Twins. But I'm really just kind of watching that
to see what happens.
I want to see which one of these teams in the AL wild card the Houston Astros are going to face off against this
weekend. Yeah, no, that's probably I should have had that one higher on my list. That's a good pick. I'm going to go one more round here if that's okay with you fellas.
Go for it.
Because my last pick is just for the Schadenfreude, the intrigue, the watching a guy flail away and enjoying it.
Ooh,
Browns Raiders, baby. I want to see what Deshaun Watson, is he going to want to run? That was a big story this week. I don't like to run.
They're going to need to run.
He's a quarterback. He's not a quarterback.
How about he wasn't, and that one, he was a decoy. He said, why didn't you throw to this wide open receiver? Well, he was a decoy. Dude, that's the whole idea. Progressions. progressions like decoys can get the ball. I think it's just completely unraveling. And they're going to lose to the Raiders. That'd be hilarious.
Fig, you got one more. You're gonna default on this one?
Nah, that's it.
I want to see Utah. I want to see the nastiness that is Utah taking on Arizona. Arizona has done some fun things. I think that Utah. Kyle Whittingham's done it again. Mm-hmm. Cam Rising is hurt again, and yet and still, Utah does the Utah things, and I am a sicko that likes college football in the ways that I do. Seeing Utah do that bludgeoning type stuff is going to be fun, so I am going to watch
ninth that. Year quarterback as Cam well. Rising?
Yeah. And I don't know if their medical redshirts will go that far, but he might be working on a 10th. Only God knows. All right, so there we go. Drafting the weekend, seeing what we like on this weekend heading in. But obviously, the biggest thing that we like is Texans, Jaguars, noon at NRG Stadium. We'll be there. Tailgating as well. We'll get involved with that as well. But pregame, 9 a.m. here on Sports Radio 610. That is with Sean and Seth. And then postgame with Sean and one of these gentlemen out there. Of course, Ron Hughley out at Big City Wings in Edo, but also Clint Sterner, who will be on the postgame show. Fellas, how you living?
Hey, we good, man, out here in Edo, out here at Big City Wings. It's a good little spot right now. We saw a little bit of the lunch crowd, and we hopefully will get some more folks in here as good food, good drinks in here. You know, I had the chicken avocados, little egg rolls, strong, solid little sauce and dressing to put back on it. But no, man, we having a good time. Good time here as we got prizes, including tickets to U of H and Iowa State and other things and gift cards that you can win here. So it's going to be a good time, as it always is on this Football Friday.
Man, outside of obviously Texans and Jaguars, because I know you guys are going to talk plenty of that, are there any games this weekend that you guys are super excited for? I'm sure, Clint, you got one that comes to mind very quickly. Huh?
Well, hell yeah. I mean, you got Arkansas A&M, man. I'm just going to lay over here in these weeds. I'm just going to lay over here in these. I know the Aggies have gotten the best of us for a good chunk of this series. Hell, I think most of it, maybe all but one. And I'm just going to lay over here and let Tyler do his little retweeting of all the A&M. You know, they posted all the scores that they beat us over the last 10 years, and Tyler's retweeting it on my damn feed and all that. Yeah, I'm just.
But you're not bitter at all.
No, look, I get it, man. It's when you're getting your ass kicked all the time, you shouldn't be doing much talking. So I'm just going to lay over in the weeds and let the big dogs bark. Look, that ain't my style, though. Even when we get them, I'm just kind of just easy.
I love Arkansas.
That's right. I enjoy it. I really get my rocks off to Tyler's mood swing.
Wow. Ooh. Wow. Well, you'll get, I don't know if you were listening earlier, but when we were talking about college football about an hour ago, I said, listen, man, there's going to be a lot of bad moods in this Arkansas A&M game. We just don't know which side.
Ain't that the truth? It's actually.
I know which side, J-Lo.
It's two very, I think, similar teams. I think A&M's more talented, but when you look at... decent defenses, quarterbacks that are dual threat that we really don't know exactly who they're going to be yet. And the Razorbacks are significantly better just in terms of not quitting and having some fight and being a tough out. You know, they're better than they were last year. So I think it's going to be a much better game than, hell, I thought it was at the beginning of the season. So I'm excited for it. That's a big one. Georgia, Alabama, obviously a big one. I'm excited about the Central Florida, Colorado game. I know that's a big one. At least for me, it is. Arkansas quarterback KJ Jefferson's in Central Florida with Gus Malzahn versus obviously Prime. That's going to be a fun game to watch. So, yeah, man, we got some good ones across the board.
Ron, for you, anything you feeling?
I just took it, didn't I? I got the Royals and Braves.
There you go.
That's big for me. We just need one. Just got to get one to get in here, and maybe there's a date between them Royals and the Astros coming up next week. But I'm excited about that Buffalo Baltimore game too.
Yes, sir.
I want to see Lamar and Josh, and I think Josh has a chance with a big performance to just. You know, just take that MVP race and just kind of own it, and just to where he just really has to coast the rest of the way. Because if he goes and they beat the Ravens, it's just going to be hard to take that away from him.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I'm right there with you. I'm excited about that. But more than anything, I'm excited for this next four hours of broadcasting on Sports Radio 610 because, ladies and gentlemen, the drive is coming up. You're listening to KILT, KILT HD2 and Odyssey Sports Station. And right now, the drive is live.